The following program is paid for by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.
When we're overloaded, we need to go to Jesus for help, but not just to get him to cause our problem to vanish, but to ask him what we need to do and then ask him to give us the grace to do it.
As we walk through each new day, we all have questions. They're just part of life. But did you know there are answers for you? God says when we look, we'll find him. He's not trying to hide anything. So together, we are discovering life's everyday answers.
Well, today is definitely a topic for everyone because none of us can completely avoid stress. But there are good ways of dealing with it, reducing it, and making sure it doesn't consume our lives. Recently, we asked you to send in some comments on how you handle stress, and here are a couple that we received. I love these. From Texas, get in the car, turn on the radio, drive out of town, park, cry, scream, pray, go home. At least that was today. And then Chris from Louisville says, I'm dealing with stress right now and can't handle it. I'm praying like crazy for peace. Well, many of you sent in very similar statements. So today, for you, we have practical solutions for dealing with the stress in your life from Joyce and our guest, marriage and family therapist, Dr. Linda Mental. As we tackle that big question, how do I beat stress?
You're not ever going to have less stress if you don't change something. And I keep hearing kind of the same thing. It's like, how can I make this go away? But you know what? A lot of you, you're a lot smarter than what you may think that you are. And I bet I could pull any one of you up here and do a little quiz. And you could tell me what your problem is. And I could say, now, what do you think might change that? Come on, why don't you just do what you would tell somebody else to do? If they ask you how to solve a problem that's the same as the problem that you're dealing with. So I don't have an answer for you if you're not willing to make changes in your life. And so tonight we're going to talk about some people in the Bible that were overloaded and what they did about it. And then we're going to start talking about borders and boundaries. We have to set borders and boundaries in our life. But first of all, let's look at Moses in Numbers chapter 11, verse 10. And Moses heard the people weeping throughout their families, every man at the door of his tent, and the anger of the Lord blazed hotly, and in the eyes of Moses it was evil. And Moses said to the Lord, why have you dealt ill with your servants, and why have I not found favor in your sight, that you lay the burden of all this people on me? Have I conceived all these people? Have I brought them forth that you should say to me, carry them in your bosom as a nursing father carries the suckling child to the land which you swore to their fathers to give them? You notice now that Moses has got a problem with the people, and he feels that he needs to meet their need. They're not happy, and so he feels that it's his responsibility to try to help them get happy. But now he's turning around and saying to God, why have you given me all this to do? And I think a lot of times that's kind of what we say to God too. How can you expect me to do all this when a lot of times God's not expecting us to do it at all? Where am I going to get meat to give all these people? Verse 13. For they weep before me and say, give us meat that we may eat. Now watch verse 14. I am not able to carry all these people alone because the burden is too heavy for me. Now I think that's really the open door to getting help right there. Not just saying I can't do this in a complaining way, but getting serious with God and saying I cannot live like this any longer, and I need to know what you want me to do to bring a change in my life. God is not just going to wave a magic wand over us. We can't just pray and poof, everything goes away. We have to be willing to make changes. And so Moses came to the point where he said, I can't do this anymore. And if this is the way you're going to deal with me, then kill me, I pray you, at once. Anybody been like this? Well, I would just rather die than keep living like this. Anybody ever said that? I know I did. If this is the way life is going to be, then what's the point in even living it? And you'll be doing me a favor and let me see my wretchedness in the failure of all my efforts. And the Lord said to Moses, gather 70 men. I'll put the anointing that's on you on them. They can share the burden with you, and things will become doable. So the answer to Moses' problem was, get some help. Hello? Well, I wish I had help. Well, you got to do more than wish, you know? To be honest, some of you, you're busy making all kinds of money, and if you're going to do that, then you need to use a little bit of that money to get a little bit of help so you don't drive yourself crazy and have no life. Yes, I'm giving you permission to spend a little money to get a little help. Oh, that you're going to make this hard, aren't you? I can see. 1 Kings 19, verse 4. Elijah, great prophet. So here we see great men of God that were falling apart from stress. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a lone broom or a juniper tree and asked that he might die. Lord, it's enough now. Take away my life, for I am no better than my father's. Now, Elijah had just come out of a huge battle. He had dealt with 400 Baal prophets and made a fool out of them. And now the next day, one woman is threatening him, and he's so tired and weary and worn out that he's afraid of her, but he had no problem at all confronting these 400 evil prophets. It's amazing what you can do when you're rested up and fired up. And it's amazing what you can't do and how foolish we can all sound if we get worn out and burned out. Amen? So somebody asked earlier, what do I do to keep balance? Well, I can tell you one thing. When I go home from here, I won't work. And I might eat a biscuit. One of the ways that I recover is I rest. I try to find a good movie to watch. I eat what I want to, and I rest. I'll probably get up Sunday morning and go walk, and then I'll just chill out the rest of the day. And then by Monday, I'll be fit again to do something else.
You know, sometimes people really make light of stress, like it's not that important, but it is a very important thing to deal with. And as Joyce has been helping us with those practical tips, let's get some more expert help now from Dr. Linda Mental, who is with us, a counselor who I'm sure that you have to deal with a lot of major issues in people's lives. Right. Oftentimes, we don't think of stress as being such a contributor to what we're dealing with, but it really is, isn't it?
It really is. It's at the basis of a lot of physical problems, and people don't think about that. They walk around, they carry stress in their physical bodies, these stress hormones that are released, the cortisol and the epinephrine, the different things that deal with our, you know, our physical health and wellness.
Yeah.
Those things really affect us, and if we carry it for a long amount of time, it does damage to the physical body.
Yeah.
So we know that stress is definitely related to heart problems, to cardiovascular issues. It can shorten somebody's life if it's not dealt with well.
Yeah.
And it's related to all kinds of other physical maladies. So very important, just from the physical point of view, to deal with stress in a very healthy way.
And that's why it's so important, I think, to look at our whole person.
Yes.
God wants to not only help us spiritually, but emotionally and physically, and getting your input as to what God's Word says really does make a difference in how it all ties together. We asked you on social media to share some of the things with us about how you deal with stress. Dr. Benjamin, you're going to love some of these. So Kenya from Boston says prayer
and food, and not necessarily in that order.
Probably the food first.
I get that one. Here's another one from L.A. Food, movies, meds, crying, guilt, drinks, in other words, not very well.
Yes. So, well, they're being honest.
They're being very
yes.
honest.
But here's the thing. So there are two things that you really want to think about with stress. So the first one is there are ways to reduce stress in your life.
Yeah.
So we can talk about some healthy ways to do that. But there are times when you have to go through stress and you can't get rid of it. What yeah. you can control, though, is the way you respond to it. And so what we want to do is we want to help people develop adaptive coping yeah. mechanisms when it comes to stress. So a lot of what you just read, the food, that's one that is not very adaptive. But yet so many people engage in emotional eating. So we see it in the movies. We see it on television. I'm stressed. I'm like this. What do? They go to the freezer. They pull out the ice cream. They're digging into the ice cream. Just not something that helps you in the
right.
long run, because just that alone, just doing that, you feel better for the moment. And actually, ice cream is shown to calm down the central nervous system. But
so
the
you get that immediate.
Immediately. But then
it
wreaks havoc with your blood sugar, and
yeah.
it creates problems. Then you get tired and drained and down. So that's one of the issues with a lot of these poor coping skills, is that mm-hmm. you get immediate relief. But then in the long run, it doesn't do anything to change things. And a lot of times it makes things worse.
Well, some of them are very dangerous.
Yes.
I mean, when you're talking about addictions or bad relationships, I mean, a lot of these do mm-hmm. come back to, I need something to make me feel good right now.
Yeah, and unfortunately, we're seeing just a huge rise in addictions. One that is really surprising that people may not be aware of is so many people will take pain medicine to help deal with pain and emotional stress, and then they start to feel good on those pain medications and they start taking them more and more. Then maybe their physician finds out that they're using them inappropriately. That gets stopped. And what we're seeing in rural areas and in a lot of counties all over the country, and it's not the people you would think. It's just the average American person is going and getting heroin on the street as a way of coping. So
yeah.
we've got massive heroin epidemics in some of these rural communities, because heroin you can get cheap on the street for like $20.
Right.
It immediately makes you feel good, but it is so damaging as a drug and highly, highly addictive, very difficult to get off of.
So when we're in a situation where whatever our release is, mm-hmm. and it may be something as serious, because I know right here in the county that we're in right now, heroin is a huge
yeah.
factor right here. And it is, because people are hurting.
Yes.
And they're stressed and they need something to release. So when we start to feel those cues,
mm-hmm.
what is the first thing we should do?
Well, I think it's really important for people to even recognize that they're carrying stress in their bodies. A lot of people don't recognize it. So for years, I worked with people who were they had been physically abused when they were growing up. Maybe they were in alcoholic homes where you never knew what was going to happen as a result of that. So the stress is unpredictable, but it's chronic, it's constant.
Yeah.
Sometimes when people are going through deep losses in their family, maybe a divorce, a death of a loved one, whatever that is, you carry that stress in your body. And because it's so familiar to you, you don't always recognize it. So I would have people come in and they would be sitting on my couch like this, and they would be like this. And I would say, well, how relaxed are you right now? Oh, I'm good. I'm
you
good.
Can see
I'm
the
feeling
stress
okay.
all over them.
Have no idea, because it's
Aww.
Been such a chronic state in their lives.
Yeah.
So the first thing is just to pay attention to your body and to do some deep breathing. Because breathing, when you do slow and deep diaphragmic breathing, is the opposite of tension.
Huh.
And it forces the body to calm down. So sometimes
yeah.
when you're in the middle of it, think about when you go to the dentist. I don't know, for me, this is always a stressor. And I'm like in the chair like this, and I think I've taught myself by practicing to relax my body, to do some deep breaths,
yeah,
and to
good.
Relax the muscles in my body, and just to calm down. And that's so important to do, because if you're in this state of chronic tension all the time, you don't think well and you can't function well in that. So the first step is to really identify that your body is under stress. And sometimes we're not paying attention to things like, I'm having trouble concentrating. Or one of the people who works here was telling me, I thought I was doing really well with stress, and then I was forgetting things during the day. And
right.
I guess I just didn't sit down and think, I have been through a lot. And he was explaining all these different losses he had just yeah. dealt with. And he said, I guess it did really affect my memory, my concentration, my ability to, sort of interact with people. I was isolating more. Mm-hmm. So look for the signs that you're stressed. That's the first thing, identify that.
Yeah. What you're talking about, it's so
fundamental. Mm-hmm. I mean, take the time to breathe.
But we don't do it. But
exactly. I mean, there are often times that we find ourselves that we've just been running from mm-hmm. thing to thing. And we just
need to do that.
We need to focus.
And rest and relaxation in American culture is almost non-existent because we have so many distractions. Yeah. We can get on social media and we can spend the whole day distracting ourselves by these kind of, you know, sort of superficial relationships, and we're trying to fill up something deep inside of us, but we're distracting. We distract with the internet. A lot of people, Ginger, distract with pornography. And that is a very serious. Pornography is highly addictive. It leads to going beyond the things that you're looking at to doing a lot of times. It's a massive problem, even in the church. It's a massive
Definitely,
problem. People
yeah.
de-stress. I have a surgeon I worked with, and he would de-stress with pornography in the on-call room. So this is the kind of thing that people are looking for, a distraction, an avoidance, an escape, rather than saying, hey, I need to work through that stress and
right.
do it in a much healthier way.
Well, Joyce has been teaching that we are going to have stress mm-hmm. in our life. We can reduce that stress, but mm-hmm. it won't be completely
no.
gone just because of the nature of
right.
of life. So what are some of those better ways to handle stress?
Well, one of the best ways is employing the spiritual disciplines. So the very thing that she always talks about, you know, prayer, reading the word,
yeah.
and then being obedient to God. So it's an interesting one because a lot of people are under stress because they're not being obedient to what God's word says, and yet they know the word. So their lives aren't working, and you know, they're not consistent with what they believe and what they do. And I find so many people come into therapy, we start talking about what do you actually believe, and then what are you doing, and those two things don't match up.
Yeah.
So that creates a lot of stress in people's lives. The thing to remember about stress is that it's what you said a few minutes ago, that we are holistic. We are, our bodies, our minds, and our spirit are all connected. So what happens with a lot of stress is that we have these thoughts in our head, and they're, you know, I'm not going to make it, I can't do this, you know, I'm just overwhelmed. And those thoughts then prompt us to feel bad and to feel anxious and upset and worry. And then that affects our behavior. And
yeah.
so then we behave in ways that are not always good, by maybe taking alcohol as a way of just medicating ourselves, or, you know, going to a magazine, or compulsive shopping,
mm-hmm.
or emotional eating. Those are the ways that we then act. And then that also reinforces that it's too much, I can't deal with this, and I'm going to have to avoid and escape even more. So what we want to do is intervene at any of those places. We can calm down our emotions by doing some relaxation techniques, by taking time to rest, by being still before the Lord. Exercise, number one thing to help people with stress. That is a prescription that should be given to everybody for so many things. And not only does it help with stress, but it also helps with your brain and brain health. So you're getting all kinds of benefits when you exercise, but it's probably one of the best things other than the spiritual.
Thank you so much for helping us look at the whole picture. And some people are dealing with it well. We have mm-hmm. a couple comments here. Melissa says, I start my day writing a letter to God, and I listen mm-hmm. and I look for him throughout the day, and it keeps her calm. Another one here says, pray, read Psalms, take deep breaths, quiet times with God. Exactly mm-hmm. what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
So we know that it is something that we can do. I think we
yes.
get more stressed about being stressed. You know, it just becomes this cycle, and we have to take those times, ask God how he wants us to deal with it. And that's what we hope that you'll do today, is start listening to some of these things, these little tips that you're getting today from Dr. Mental, from Joyce, and do what you need to do in your life to make the changes. We have an offer for you today. This is Joyce's book. It's called Overload, and it is so practical. There are step-by-step things in here of different stressors in your life and how to handle them. So this is what we're offering today. We hope that you'll pick that up. But right now, here's Joyce with more very practical tips on how to beat stress.
So somebody asked earlier, what do I do to keep balance? Well, I can tell you one thing. When I go home from here, I won't work. And I might eat a biscuit. One of the ways that I recover is I rest. I try to find a good movie to watch. I eat what I want to, and I rest. I'll probably get up Sunday morning and go walk, and then I'll just chill out the rest of the day. And then by Monday, I'll be fit again to do something else. I used to go home and then just work some more and work some more and work some more and go home and work some more and work some more and work some more. And then I sounded like these guys did. Oh, Lord, you might as well just kill me if this is all life is going to be. But see, here's the thing. God finally got across to me, and I hope somebody gets this here tonight. I was crabbing about my schedule, and God said, you make your schedule. If you don't like it, change it. Well, I don't know what to give up. Well, part of the reason why we don't know what to give up is because we want to be involved in everything because we're nosy. And secondly, we want to keep everybody happy so nobody's unhappy with us and everybody loves us and thinks we're wonderful. And so we try to be like super people. And I'm telling you what, it's not unspiritual to say, I cannot do this anymore. I have to have a change in my life. God, you show me what you want me to do, and I will do it. Amen. Money is not worth killing yourself over. And if the only way that people are going to like you is if you do everything they want you to, then they don't really care anything about you. They're just using you. Well, what was God's answer for Elijah? I love this. He sent an angel to cook him a good meal, and he told him to take a nap. I mean, that's the truth. If you read the whole thing through, and I'm not going to take the time to do it. He sent an angel, and he put him to sleep. He gave him a good meal. He put him to sleep. When he woke up, he gave him another good meal. And then they went on with God's plan. And honestly, sometimes all you really need is a good night's sleep, a good healthy meal, and a good laugh, and you'll be back in business. Amen? Some of you need a laugh right now, so I'm going to stop right in the middle of this preaching and tell you a joke. Well, honey, I've never been in a church like this. Well, two old people were laying in bed side by side. I'm talking really old. Like wrinkled up old. And she said, honey, why don't you ever hold my hand like you used to at night? So his little old wrinkled hand came across the bed, and he took her little old wrinkled hand. She said, honey, why don't you ever hold me in your arms like you used to at night? So he sighed, and it took him a little while, but he got over to her side of the bed and got her in his arms, and she rested a little bit. And then she said, honey, why don't you ever nibble on my ear like you used to at night? And all of a sudden, he jumped up and started across the floor. And she said, well, where are you going? And he said, well, I got to get my teeth. Now, see, you're thinking, well, what does that have to do with anything? Nothing. It has nothing to do with anything. And that's exactly what you need to get through your head, that everything doesn't have to have some big super-duper purpose. It's okay to just stop right in the middle of some work and just have a little bit of fun. Matter of fact, you could laugh at yourself and lighten up your life a whole lot. I tell you, my husband's going to have fun no matter what he does. And a lot of times it's at my expense, but he still has fun. Jesus said, Matthew 11, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden and overburdened, and I will give you rest. I will cause you to rest. I will ease, relieve, and refresh your souls. When we're overloaded, we need to go to Jesus for help. But not just to get him to cause our problem to vanish, but to ask him what we need to do and then ask him to give us the grace to do it. Am I making that point clear in this seminar? Prayer is not just to get God to make our problems vanish. There are times when he does that, but a large majority of the time, God will guide us and show us what we need to do. He'll give us the grace, the strength, the ability to do it. And then that's what fixes our problem. You know what? Life would be extremely boring if we never participated in it at all. And God wants us to participate in the management of our lives. Whether you know it or not, you have a lot of authority over your life. And if you don't take care of yourself, I'm not sure who's going to.
So remember, we can't always just pray and expect God to take all of our problems away to beat stress. Prayer is important, but we need to work together with God. And with His help, we must be willing to make changes in our lives to deal with the stress. We've got some practical help for you today. This is Joyce's book called Overload. And I just love the subtitle, How to Unplug, Unwind, and Unleash Yourself from the Pressure of Stress. That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? It's time to just break free from all that. And it is very possible. I know when you're stressed, you don't always feel like there's hope. But stress is a big deal in our lives, especially in today's society. It grows more and more. You can put a stop to that. But what you need to do is allow God to come in and work together with Him. So grab that book. It's great help. And for additional information, you can check out our Everyday Answers webpage. We're featuring an article there from Joyce called Trust More and Stress Less. And in it, you'll discover even more insight into beating stress. So let's hear what you are all saying on social media. This is a great comment from Victoria talking about stress, and she says, it has not always been easy for me. For a while, stress would just send me over the edge with mood swings, depression, sickness, and all sorts of things because my nervous system is so sensitive. Over the years, however, God has helped me through your teachings and His word. And now when I find myself stressed out, I find that the best way to snap out of it is through prayer, positive thinking and speaking, and enjoying a good laugh. That is a really important one. We need to be able to laugh. We need to take it to the Lord, and we need to encourage one another. So thank you so much for sharing that. We hope that you'll share your stories on how you are beating stress. We'd love to hear it from you. Encourage each other on Facebook, the Joyce Meyer Ministries Facebook page, on Twitter. And as always, if you have a question, you can ask Joyce, hashtag Ask Joyce, and even on Instagram, just hold up a sign, let us know your question, and maybe you'll see it coming up here on the program sometime. Next week, Joyce answers the question, how do I let God fight my battles? It is an inspiring show that you won't want to miss. We are so grateful that you've been with us. We love you, and we hope you have a great week. We'll see you next time.
The preceding program was paid for by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.